Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, it is the season, right? Merry Christmas to you and yours. A week from today, can you believe it? Now, I believe Christmas is still coming. I believe it. I see it on the calendar. We're all doing our shopping and everything. I was doing some Christmas shopping today. So a week from today, Merry Christmas early, a week early. So excited about that. I still have to see it to believe it that 2021 is actually coming in a few weeks. But Christmas is definitely coming in. It's been a difficult year. We all know that. And Christmas different this year in a lot of churches. And whereas we have a lot of stories that are concerning, a lot of things that are upsetting us, whether it's COVID, whether it's the election, whatever the case may be, if there was ever a time when we needed some Christmas cheer, we needed, I wouldn't call it a diversion. I would call it a refocusing on some things that the meta narrative of restoration, of reconciliation of the gospel itself is still on top of everything else, all the news of the day. And so one of our friends here in the Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill area of North Carolina here in the Triangle, it's Colonial Baptist Church. I've been teaching down there for years in their homeschool program, which is awesome. Pastor Stephen Davey, the senior and founding pastor of Colonial Baptist, one of the greatest teachers on the East Coast, phenomenal. But they also have just an immensely talented staff. They've got an incredible music program. And they've and the answer to this strange environment we find ourselves in terms of Christmas and church this year, they've taken all that talent and the ability and brought in a lot of more talent on that and have created an actual Christmas film that's going to become available this Sunday called Christmas Suite, All is Calm. And we should all be excited about that. And what a year of all of them recently that we really need this kind of a message. So we've got Peter Scheibner's joining us. He's the director of Christmas Suite, All is Calm. Peter, thanks for calling in, man. Merry Christmas. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having us on the show, Steve.
You're very welcome. So obviously, you know, we're kind of in a lane change type year for the church and going virtual and going online and all that kind of stuff. So what was kind of the genesis behind you guys coming up with Christmas Suite, All is Calm? It's such a wonderful idea. I was able to watch part of it with the link you guys were kind enough to share with me. And it's just a beautiful production. You guys really went all out.
Well, thank you. Yeah, so Christmas Suite itself is actually about 18 years old here at Colonial. It's a very long-running Christmas program that we've done every year. And it is the best that our church has to offer in musical theater. But for obvious reasons, that really wasn't going to be an option this year. And as we got into the later parts of the summer, we really started having questions about, you know, if we weren't going to be able to do Christmas Suite like we always did, what could we do that matched that standard? And I don't know. I don't know about you. I have virtual fatigue. Like, I'm done with the whole, you know, Amen. Watching some event on a play on my TV screen. We just weren't interested in doing that. And so what we ultimately settled on was the best version of something you could watch on a screen was a movie. And if Christmas Suite represents the best that we can do, then we wanted to make a movie. So it was early August. We ultimately set the gears in motion, and we've been nonstop since then to get this film done. But we made a movie.
And it actually kicks off. I mean, we can actually begin watching it. You can watch it. I put up the links on Facebook Live, ChristmasSuite2020.com, but it'll be available this Sunday, the 20th at 7 p.m. And interestingly enough, Peter, isn't this an opportunity perhaps to reach more people with this Christmas story and this Christmas movie and the production than you guys have ever had before?
Well, that's you're absolutely right about that. We talked about that back in August. 2020 is, I think for a lot of people, myself included, I viewed it as a negative. It was taking things away from me. But the truth is, I think God has presented us with a unique opportunity this year to reach people in new and unique ways. Traditionally, we can reach about 3,500 people in a good year at Christmas Suite here at the church. We're not limited this year. As many people as we can make aware of the film, as many people can see it. And it goes forward into future years. So not just this year, but the film's going to be available forever. So as long as people are interested in Christmas content, our film can have a ministry and share the gospel.
Yeah, because we'll all, you know, listen, we're all pretty programmed at this point, Peter, to gather around and watch something on Facebook or Amazon, whatever the case may be, especially this year, as we've all been enduring the COVID shutdown. So we have that ability. We have the muscle memory to do it. What's kind of your, for you guys at Colonial, with you, Peter, as the director and everybody else involved, and Andy Brewster, who was kind enough to reach out to me, what's kind of your hope and prayer as to how God's going to use this?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, our story is centered around the gospel. And so I hope that folks who maybe don't have a walk with Christ to see the film can come to a saving faith in Christ Jesus. The second would be that folks who do have a walk with Christ would be encouraged and grow in their faith as a result of watching the film. But I think a film like this has to have a few things going for it. One, it has to be gospel-centered. If you're going to make a film and say that this is designed to bring people to Christ, it has to be gospel-centered. The second, it has to be entertaining. You don't ask people to sit down and watch a sermon on TV. That's just not what we were about. So we wanted to make a film that was entertaining. And third, we needed a film that was uplifting. And I think our film hits on all three of those levels. From the narrative, the music involved, it really is, it's a very quick hour and a half.
Yeah, because Colonial has, I mean, for years, ever since I moved here, my wife and I kind of have a musical background. I've been well aware of all the talent that God has deposited in Colonial Baptist Church, not the least of which would be your pastor's ability to preach and teach the Word of God. But it's so cool that this now opportunity with the darkness of COVID and everything we dealt with 2020 is going to allow that to shine even more brightly. And I really appreciate your attitude. We got to look at this as, hey, this is a great opportunity. Let's make sure we don't spoil that. So what can we do, whether we go to Colonial Baptist or not? If we love the Lord, we care about the lost. How would you guys suggest that we use this as a tool to proclaim the gospel and build the kingdom?
That's a great question, Steve. So, number one, we actually consciously made a decision on the film not to advertise Colonial Baptist. So you're not going to see Colonial Baptist anywhere on the film because we don't want to turn people off. So the first thing you can do is tune in on Sunday, this coming Sunday at 7 p.m., and you can watch it at ChristmasSuite2020.com, or you can go to YouTube and you can watch it there on Colonial's YouTube channel. But share it with your friends and family. If you have unsaved relatives, share it with them. Set up watch parties. We have lots of people who are going to have watch parties, whether they be virtual or whether they be bringing people into their homes. There are several churches across the country that are going to be having showings, whether it be in their church services or encouraging people to watch it from their homes. These are all ways that the film can get out into our communities and hopefully spread the good news, the real meaning of Christmas.
Yeah, and again, what a great opportunity because, like you mentioned before, you kind of have fatigue of all the online stuff, but that's where we're at right now, and fatigue of bad news and consternation and the election, as important as all these things are. Obviously, the gospel is preeminent. What a great tool that God has given you guys. Christmas Suite, All is Calm is the name of this, taking this long-running musical production and drama at Colonial Baptist Church online into a movie form called All is Calm, Christmas Suite. Welcome back and Merry Christmas. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. Did you catch that? The end of the last segment, I was talking to Peter Scheibner, who's the director of Christmas Suite, All is Calm. It's a long-running musical theater that Colonial Baptist Church here in the Raleigh area has been doing. An incredible church. Stephen Davey is the senior pastor. Incredible, talented music program down there. And then with the COVID and everything, the COVID. Isn't it funny how we've changed the way we talk? With the COVID and everything. So now they're doing it online, and they've expanded it into a movie. And so I was trying to give you the website and stuff there at the end and then hit the commercial break. And sometimes, probably more often than not, I think, sometimes we just have a technical problem and I don't hear 30 seconds of outro. I hear 22 seconds of whatever. And so I'm so trained muscle memory wise to work with 30 seconds. But in this case, there was no technical glitch there. There was nobody else I could point the finger to. It was just me. It was just me messing up. And waiting too long to get to the punchline. And so, boom, I the clock always wins. Doesn't matter what I say, what I feel, or what I think. The clock's always going to win. That's just the deal with live radio, which is part of the reason I love live radio, because I prefer to be up on the high wire without a net. So just to confirm everything, they're putting it online. It goes live this Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And the website is Christmas Suite, SWEET, Christmas Suite 2020.com. Okay. And beautifully done. I was able to watch part of it online. They gave me a little sneak peek access online. It was really beautifully done. And again, they have amazing talent. So let's push away from the table of politics and COVID and all the other stuff and the stress of the season and the year. And this is also a great tool. This is one of those easy things that we can do because you do not know with your faithfulness what God will do. A little mustard seed and God could grow an entire tree or a nation. A small number of religious zealots jumping on a boat and risking their lives to cross the Atlantic was the mustard seed that led to the birth of the nation in which you now reside, if you're here in the United States of America. And the nation, imperfect as it is, that has been the epicenter of so many blessings, not just here in America, but around the world for a couple hundred years. And that started with a mustard seed of faith. So you sharing something on Facebook or email or Twitter or whatever, something like Christmas Sweet, All Is Calm from our friends at Colonial Baptist Church, you do not know what God will do with that. And so you try, even if it doesn't look like or you don't think you're going to make a difference. You're called to be faithful and leave the fruitfulness in God's hands. Okay? ChristmasSweet2020.com. All right. So that leads me to something. Ironing, sharpening iron. I've got a bunch of different stories here that I want to get through, which we will get through. I'm going to fly through them. So as usual, you have to kind of listen fast because I talk fast and think fast. I had a great conversation, challenging conversation with one of my board members earlier. And this is just what I do on the air is I process a lot of things verbally. And so sometimes it can be a little bit like whiplash. So when I'm having doubts, you're usually going to hear it. Okay, so on the one hand, I can talk about what is possible in Congress when we get to January 5th and 6th. Of course, we've got these two things back to back. We've got the Georgia runoff election, which is really for all the marbles if Jill Biden becomes the president of the United States and the Democrats pull off, steal, take those two seats, whatever, down in Georgia, and the U.S. Senate then becomes a 50-50 tie, and then the vice president of the United States becomes the president of the Senate. That would be Kamala Harris, and then she only votes in a tie. So now you've got Kamala Harris as the tiebreaker in the U.S. Senate. And your imagination can run with what that would look like. House controlled by Democrats, Senate effectively controlled by Democrats, and a Democrat in the White House. If you're a conservative, your wildest nightmares will come true in a couple of months. Okay, under that kind of quote-unquote leadership. And so there's that. And then there's court cases, most of which have been dismissed for procedural reasons, not because they heard the evidence. And there's still things going on. Georgia is conducting a statewide mail-in ballot. That just broke last night. Signature audit, okay? So there's still efforts underway. And people talking about Trump's going to declare martial law on December 14th, which, by the way, for those of you that said that, was 4 days ago. Eddie on Facebook Live, Mike Pence is the tiebreaker. No, he isn't. Not when you go look at the Constitution and the subsequent laws. Okay, you got to go look at the laws that are on the books. Mike Pence doesn't break a tie, and you don't want an individual having that kind of power in terms of the voting if they do objections to the Electoral College certification process, which is what's going to happen in D.C. in early January. Okay, setting that aside, there's the will of the Lord. And so my board member was like, hey, I think maybe you were making it seem like don't bother. Don't bother praying. Don't bother calling the representatives. I put down all the leaders of the House and the Senate, the Republicans in charge of the legislatures in these swing states and call them. And now, because of this objection process coming up in January in the Congress, you should be calling your particular state representative, especially if you're a conservative, if you're a Republican, call them and urge them, challenge them. Encouragement is to loan courage. That's what the actual word means. Encourage them. Loan them your courage. Encourage them to take a stand. And not a stand primarily for Donald Trump. This is a stand for the very nature and existential threat to the United States of America in terms of a representative republic. If we lose election integrity, we don't have a United States of America anymore. It's like a banana public and oligarchy, a government controlled by a very small, powerful group of people. They or them, in air quotes. Okay, that's why Steve Dace on the show said yesterday, hey, we don't live in a nation of laws. We live in a nation of political will, which is what you see operating right now. So let me clarify this for everybody. God can pull a dead man out of a grave, right? Jesus say, Lazarus, come out. You know, and you hear the old joke, people say, well, he had to say Lazarus, otherwise everybody in all the graves there in Bethany would have come out, which is entirely possible. But he said, Lazarus, come out. Even a dead person isn't too far gone for God, if that's what he wants to do. So is this election gone? Is the thought of a Donald Trump second term gone? No. Is the window a little smaller? Is the door closing? Yes. But God doesn't care about closing doors, and he doesn't care about the size of your window or my window or anybody's window. God has authority over everything. So if I've given you the thought that there's no hope, please forgive me. That was not my intent. I do believe that there is hope. And I do believe that maybe something can happen in the court of law because it's December 18th. And the fat lady doesn't really sing until January 5th, 6th, and 20th. So there's things, and it's 2020, for goodness sakes. Anything's possible. And you have to continue to fight, and you have to continue to believe. Paul, sawing that he had the faith to be healed, said, get your stuff and stand up. And the man was healed. So we have to have great faith. So if I've given you the impression that I don't have faith, please forgive me. That was not my intent. Or if I've given you the impression that it's not, don't bother doing anything. That wasn't my intent either. Every Legal Vote, it's a great website by Thomas Friedman that you should go look at because there's a lot of great information there. And then you take it and decide for yourself. But there's a lot of great information and updated information. And there's a way for you to take action. You should do that. You should be praying every day fervently for truth and for justice and for the very future of this country. Because like I said, and I'll continue to ring this bell, if we can't trust our election process, if our election process is that given over, this isn't the United States of America anymore. It's some kind of an American version of a banana republic. And unfortunately, most people will slink back and say, well, if my vote really doesn't matter, then why bother? And then we've just handed it over. So like I've said recently, apathy is not an option. And I do have faith. And I will try. And I will talk. And I will pray. And you should do the same. Nothing's over until God says it's over. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. We'll be back. I'm going to dive into a bunch of these different stories. Some are good. Some are enraging. Some are just interesting. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Merry Christmas. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Full of faith. I know you're thinking. Full of faith. Okay? But, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Remember that. Whenever we're dealing with the nature of our culture, COVID-19, 2020 in general, the election results, Trump, Biden, And one of the dangers in what I do on live radio is I process verbally. So if I'm doubting things and frustrated, you're pretty much going to know it. I don't craft everything. I'm not an elected official. I don't feel like I need to play that kind of game. And so I'm painfully honest on the air sometimes. Sometimes my wife will say, sharing too much. Hello, ding, ding, ding. Sharing too much, Steve. But I think we lack a lot of authenticity in this world, and everything's crafted and finely honed and edited over and over and over again. And I think I struggle with some of the same things that you probably struggle with. And so on the one hand, I'm like, man, I want some justice here. I want some truth. And on the other hand, I'm like, it's America, man. We're going down. We're going to burn. And then I'm like Jonah. Like, hey, Steve, go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. You're like, Nineveh? Really? You want me to move to San Francisco to all those crazy people out there and walk around all the piles of human feces and the discarded drug needles and with all the crazy liberal politics and preach the gospel? Forget it. What we really need, Lord, is for you to bring an earthquake to the San Andreas Fault and drop the whole stinking state into the ocean. And some of you are saying, amen. And I think that's what Jonah was thinking with Nineveh. So God did what he needed to do to Jonah, spits him out back on the beach, and Jonah walks in. And I was just saying this with my friends on Facebook Live. I'm like, could you imagine how Jonah preached the gospel after that? Hey, repent. Hey, you guys, yeah, God's real, man, and you better get right with him. Okay, I did it, Lord. Now I'm going to go sit up here on the hill and watch it burn, which is exactly what Jonah wanted. And sometimes, cards on the table, that's what I want. I'm like, you know what, Lord? Let's just burn this place. Just us. Funny. Burn it to the ground. Just let us get the full weight of our sin. But that's not what he did to me. Sometimes he allows us to get the full weight of our sin. That's because God chastises those he loves and he corrects you and builds you up. That's how the vine dresser prunes the vine, prunes the branches to produce what? Even more fruit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. To be a comfort to those that God has given you the comfort. So you comfort others with the comfort that you've received. That's part of the pruning process. And so sometimes I'm just like, let it burn. These liberals. Pfft. So there's me who wants California to fall into the ocean. And then there's our oldest son who moved there recently and got a great job and just has a heart for the city. He loves the city architecturally and everything and the way it's set up. But he has a heart for the city and he's in a really good church there. He just moved out there. He's got a heart for the city. We're like, oh, no. Really? You want to go of all the places that I don't want my kid to live, it's San Francisco. But of all the people I know that I would send there to bring a gospel witness in a way that I think will be very effective there, it's our son. So do you want to be like Jonah and write it off? Or do you want to be like Jesus and believe and act and never give up? He doesn't give up on any of us. We shouldn't give up on this stuff either, okay? All right, let's keep going. All right, here, this is kind of funny. Not. Mitch McConnell warns Senate Republicans against challenging election results. And then this other article, Senate Republicans consider challenging Joe Biden's win despite Mitch McConnell's warning. What's going on here? This is the swamp versus people that want to clean it. That's essentially what's going on here. And Mitch McConnell, who I think is a rhino, who mostly just wants to get things back to the way they were, where they don't have to answer for the president and they don't have to deal with all this radical stuff that Donald Trump wants to do. Can't we just go back to where it was nice and quiet and calm, even though the country is just continuing to shoot itself in the foot? At least it was an easier job. You know what? I think that's a lot what's going on here. McConnell on Tuesday's call cited a 2005 objection from former Senator Barbara Boxer after George W. Bush's reelection, which delayed the process by a few hours. Oh, I can't do that. The Kentucky Republican warned that he hoped no one, particularly in the class of 2022, thought that was a good idea. That's not even a veiled threat. Meanwhile, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, a top Trump ally, has dodged questions from reporters about whether he supports Brooks's gambit, this guy that is like, yeah, let's challenge it. The president is right to go to the courts, have his legal challenges heard, McCarthy added. And he said he still has more opportunity to do that, so we'll wade through those and see what happens. A lot of these guys are just trying to cover their behinds because they just don't want the fight. I think that's, now you're hearing, did you hear the story of allegedly, watch your confirmation bias here, somebody, a lackey that works in the Supreme Court, you know, one of the, I don't know if it's somebody that's clerking or what the deal is, said they heard this screaming match with the justices and primarily Chief Justice John Roberts talking, and somebody brings up Bush Gore when they're talking about the Texas case, and allegedly, although I don't have a hard time believing this, John Roberts is like, I don't give a blank about a Bush Gore because they weren't having riots back then. So now what dictates the policy of the United States Supreme Court is fear. Fear of how people are going to react. Your job, sir, to all of you on the United States Supreme Court is to rightly interpret and protect the U.S. Constitution. And if our nation's as far gone as I think it is, in terms of election integrity, and like Steve Dace said yesterday, elections aren't stolen, now they're taken, because the whole, he said, it's not about the law, it's about political will, and clearly the Democrats have more political will than the Republicans. And so you're afraid to right a great wrong because you're worried that people are going to get upset and there might be some violence? And so you never do anything. You're making decisions based on fear and mob rule. And that's not the United States of America either, which is why we don't have a pure democracy, because that's mob rule. And if that's true, holy cow, you got that. You got Mitch McConnell, who just wants things to go back the way they were. The slow death by a thousand cuts kind of governance in Washington, D.C., because nobody has the boldness to take on the system or the swamp. Trump does. But that, man, that brings you into the fray. And I think most of these folks don't want to go into the fray. You know, it took him 6 or 9 months to even get on his side after he got elected, and they couldn't even defund Planned Parenthood. Do you think Republicans really defund Planned Parenthood? I don't know. You show me your faith by what you say. I'll show you my faith by what I do. Wow. You know, what's up with that? Mitch McConnell. Here's what I hope. I hope that there are brave Republicans in the House and the Senate that are talking today, like Mike Johnson from the House yesterday, and they bring up their objections and they fight. They fight down to the last word and the last moment for truth and justice, and not primarily for Donald Trump, but for the very survival of this nation. That's the prayer. Okay. We need to be praying that. We need to be calling our representatives, your representatives, because they're a part of this end game, okay? And encourage them, which is to lend them courage, encourage them to stand tall and to object. and then have the conversation. That's the problem with most of these court cases. They've been dismissed over procedural issues. There really hasn't been a great situation where they've heard all the evidence. Well, they need to do it. And then something you can do, not the least of which and the most powerful, would be to pray, is this website I mentioned before, everylegalvote.com, that Thomas Friedman put together. And great information, great education. They're just kind of pooling together everything. And there's some action items there. You can send an email to every attorney general. You can send emails to your state representatives. And you should. If you're complaining about it and you have all this consternation about it, but you're not doing anything about it, then sit down and you've lost your right to complain. If you're not willing to do something about it, you shouldn't be whining about it. Okay? So there's that. Then I like this story on the follow-up on that. Senator-elect, let's hope he stays this way, Tommy Tuberville defies Mitch McConnell, opens door to Electoral College challenge in the Senate. We're going to have to do it in the Senate, he said. He indicated this week that he may challenge the Electoral College votes from several key battleground states in the U.S. Senate in defiance of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Some congressional Republicans led by Representative Mo Brooks in Alabama are discussing a plan to challenge the results. Well, you see what's coming. This is Tuberville. You've been reading about it in the House. We're going to have to do it in the Senate, he said. Good for you, sir. I'm trying to see if there's any other things. Representative Brooks has been leading the charge to challenge the results of the Electoral College in Congress. Quote, I find it unfathomable that anyone would acquiesce to election theft and voter fraud because they lack the courage to take a difficult vote on the House or Senate floor. Amen, bro. Last time I checked, he said, that's why we were elected to Congress. Yes, one would think. Wow. Pray for these folks, these men and the women, to have a backbone to fight for truth. And then get the truth out, let the case be heard, and then hopefully you have some adjudication that deals with truth and justice. Wow, pretty amazing. All right, let's whiplash to a good story. I love this story. This story is so encouraging to me. It reminds me of the story that just came out recently where the Supreme Court found this radical thing called religious freedom just recently in a couple of states. Wow, you mean that the state can't shut down the church? No, they can't. That would be illegal if it matters anymore. So I saw this one. I love this. This is out of California. California judge rules San Diego County restaurants can. Well, I'm not going to tell you. This is classic radio shenanigans. I'll hold that for after the break. So don't go anywhere. Come back, and you can see what this San Diego, California judge says about restaurants and strip joints. Only in California. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. 'Cause you want more. Welcome back, ladies and germs. This is Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you. A little punchy today. Really, I mean, I had one cup of coffee this morning. I had one cup of coffee when I came here. I had a great conversation with the King family, who I've known for several years. And their son Riley's been in both of my classes, and they love to have conversations about theology and the church and what's going on in politics. So we ramped that up from pretty much from 3 to right before the show started. So I'm kind of jacked up anyway. And then I switched to tea. So this is just who I am. Take it or leave it. That's easy to do. You don't like it? Turn the channel, turn it off, disconnect from Facebook Live, whatever the case may be. but I rarely mail it in, so you can always count on that. All right, back to San Diego. I love this story. And somebody asked if I'm snarky. I'm always snarky. Does the sun rise in the east and set in the west? Yes, Steve is snarky. California judge rules San Diego County restaurants can reopen. Oh, repent, you sinner. Says strip club ruling also protects eateries. This is so California. Governor Gavin Newsom's office immediately appealed the judge's decision, of course. California judge ruled, I love this. This is what you need to do, fight back. Did you know it's a million and climbing businesses that have closed for good across America as a result of the COVID shutdowns? A million plus. That's a lot of devastation that nobody likes to talk about. California judge ruled that all the San Diego County restaurants can reopen for on-site dining, falling in line with an earlier ruling that strip clubs could remain open despite Governor Gavin Newsom's novel coronavirus-related health order that calls for such establishments to close up shop. Thursday's San Diego County ruling which was just yesterday, was a setback to Newsom's stay-at-home order, which officials said was issued in an effort to slow the spread. I thought we did that already. Masks, shutdown, slow the spread. Oh, it didn't work. The coronavirus before the state's intensive care units run out of beds. By the way, I saw another story that the state then adjusted its number of hospital beds down. So did they shut down a bunch of hospitals? No, they're just misreporting. The Democratic governor's office immediately appealed, bringing uncertainty to restaurant owners. Who cares about them, right? Who cares about you small business owners? Weighing whether to buy, just like Bill Gates, I shared that story the other day, he's worth, what, $150 billion, saying, yeah, well, restaurants and bars and stuff, they should probably stay closed for about at least 6 months. Easy for you to say. Jeez, why do we even listen to somebody like that? To buy food and schedule staff a week before Christmas amid the possibility that their victory could soon be reversed. The case was initially brought to the court by two San Diego strip clubs and resulted in the major victory for California businesses that are fighting public health orders that they say have hurt them economically. In announcing his decision in favor of the businesses, San Diego Superior Court Judge Joel Wolfell, God bless you, sir, said his ruling Wednesday was straightforward and going beyond the strip clubs that sued the county and state, Cheetah's Gentlemen's Club and Pacers Showgirls International. County officials requested the next day hearing to clarify how far the ruling extended. It is intended to encompass all restaurants within the county of San Diego, Wolfell said in the brief Thursday hearing that lasted all but 8 minutes. Yeah, because the law in decency doesn't take a long time to deliberate over. Okay, it should be pretty obvious that the government really doesn't have the right to destroy your life and the lives in the welfare and the well-being of all your citizens, meaning all of your employees, and all of your suppliers and everybody else that gets taken down when businesses fail. Over a million of them now nationwide. San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria tweeted in response to the decision, writing that the city is working with county and state officials to determine the next step. Yeah, we can't let these people survive. Quote, no one wants our small businesses to be closed. Yes, you do. But the science and data are showing a dire trend in hospitalizations and deaths, he wrote. Over 1,200 have died in San Diego County, and the ICU capacity of Southern California has dropped to zero. Hey, Seth, Google right quick what the abortion numbers are in San Diego County. Just look at 2019 abortion statistics, San Diego County. Okay, try to find that. So he's saying that their capability has dropped to zero. We have a collective obligation to accept the personal responsibility of keeping each other safe. Hours after the injunction was issued Wednesday, San Diego County had suspended enforcement of its restrictions barring indoor and outdoor dining and live entertainment in the county of 3 million, the state's second most populous. Yeah, because why would we ever want to trust people to make their own decisions? But Steve, we have drunk driving laws, correct? Drunk driving. Which is deadly and can kill people. Steve, COVID kills people. Well, if you're 69 and under, you've got a 99.997% verified by the CDC survival rate. Okay? And, let's move on. You get the point. Lauren Daigle. What did she do wrong? She got removed from New York's Rockin' Eve celebration, which nobody under the age of 55 even watches anymore, but that's another story. She got removed from the New York's Rockin' Eve celebration. You know why? Lauren Daigle is a Christian singer-songwriter, okay? Why? Because she's a Christian. Nope, it's worse than that. Because she talks about Jesus. Nope, it's worse than that. Because she believes the Bible. Well, most of it anyway. Well, no, it's worse than that. Christian recording artist and Louisiana native Lauren Daigle has been removed from Dick Clark's Productions' annual New Year's Rockin' Eve celebration after the New Orleans mayor demanded the singer be scrubbed from the event because she led a song at an outdoor worship event in November. It gets better. Democrat Latoya Cantrell said the You Say singer-songwriter should be removed from the national event as a punishment for violating public health guidance. This is so leftist. CBN News reported. In a letter sent to executives of Dick Clark Productions, Cantrell wrote the following. Who elected this woman? She harmed our people. She risked the lives of our residents. And she strained our first responders in a way that is unconscionable in the midst of a public health crisis. This is not who we are, and she cannot be allowed to represent New Orleans or the people she willfully endangered. Unquote. Daigle Sin was her impromptu participation in a Let Us Worship event hosted in the French Quarter last month by praise leader and former political candidate Sean, I don't even know how he pronounces the last name. He's been doing these all over the country. F-E-U-C-H-T. Ficht? I don't know. The look-up child singer said she actually happened upon the event when she was riding her bicycle near the French Quarter close to where she lives. The 29-year-old recording artist led those gathered at the outdoor event in the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. How dare her? Louisiana Lieutenant Governor Billy Neusener, a Republican, told WWLFM the entire situation is a misunderstanding. It's war. It's way worse than that, sir. Come on, where's your backbone? He said Daigle stopped at the Let Us Worship rally because she heard people praying for hospitality workers. He went on to explain Daigle only sang a hymn after being asked to do so, noting the entertainer wasn't responsible for the crowd that had already gathered. None guests are rebuked Cantrell for her horrible, nasty, mean work to block Daigle, suggesting the ordeal throws the entire New Year's event into jeopardy. Quote, our big chance to promote Louisiana and New Orleans to have the rug pulled out from under us by such a hateful, horrible, nasty, mean, unbelievable act, he said. You just can't put words to it. So Daigle dared to sing out loud, lead worship outside, putting the entire population of New Orleans at risk because COVID. Hashtag because COVID. Foyt. Thank you, Catherine. Sean Foyt. That's the worship leader. They need to throw that guy in jail because he's just running around creating a situation where 99.997 of the participants will survive. All right, we'll finish with this. Thank you, Lord, that my house is not built on this rock. It's built on the rock of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that this is all temporary. It matters, and we engage because it involves people made in your image. But thank you, Lord Jesus, that one day every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. You'll wipe away every tear. Every wrong will be righted. Every account will be settled. Every injustice will be dealt with and paid for, either by Jesus himself on the cross or by the perpetrator who refused to repent. Thank you, Lord, that perfect justice is coming and will flow like a free-flowing river out of the city of God. Thank you, Lord, for all of that. Thank you, Lord, that that's the rock on which our houses and our homes are, and our lives are built. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be joyful of that all the time. In Jesus' name, amen. The war on history comes for Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln didn't do enough for black lives, according to militant proponents of the woke revolution. In October, we were talking about San Francisco before, remember? In October, the San Francisco United School District School Names Advisory Committee, whoa, suggested a list of school names to be replaced in the city. On that list was a school named after Lincoln, the great emancipator. Apparently not good enough. In just a few years, the discussion about history and monuments has gone from whether we should keep Confederate monuments to erasing the president who orchestrated the Confederacy's destruction. Regarding Lincoln, it seems the woke and John Wilkes Booth are now in alignment. This isn't a slippery slope, writes Jared Stepman at the Daily Signal. It's a free fall without a parachute. A recent report by the San Francisco Chronicle that has been making the rounds illuminates just how bad things have become in some education circles. Quote, Lincoln is one of dozens of historical figures who, according to a school district naming committee, lived a life so stained with racism, oppression, or human rights violations, they do not deserve to have their name in a school building, the San Francisco Chronicle reported. Part of the criticism of Lincoln is about how he treated Native Americans badly, particularly the Sioux tribe. This has always been an unfair charge, but he was simply added to the renaming committee's list without debate. According to the committee chairman, this isn't the only reason for abandoning that scumbag. Quote, Lincoln, like the presidents before him and most after, did not show through policy or rhetoric that black lives even mattered to them outside of human capital and his casualties or wealth building. On and on and on they went. When you start to look at their list of what disqualifies you, anyone directly involved in the colonization of people, slave owners or participants in enslavement, perpetuators of genocide or slavery, those who exploit workers and people, those who directly oppressed or abused women, children, queer, transgender people, those connected to any human rights or environmental issues, those who are known racist and or white supremacist and or espouse racist beliefs. Of course, the danger is there is how do they define all that? And it sounds a lot like me too. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No kidding. Wow. Okay, Merry Christmas, everybody. God loves you. Don't forget that. God loves you. And he loves America, and he cares about all of us. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.